Welcome to Books on Air, the podcast you don't want to miss. You're about to get a sneak peek at what goes on behind the scenes with authors. We'll find out their secret recipe for creating books. We'll tell you where they get their ideas, and you will get the inside scoop on their next project. Want to know more? Okay, we'll tell you where to find them on social media. Are you ready? All right, let's meet today's author. Joining me is a really interesting person. Her name is Kristen Orloff, and she has written a book called American Wings, Iranian Roots. Kristen holds a master's degree in education and a BA in language arts. She's currently serving as a school site administrator, and she's a project manager for her local college. She's published several works. She mentors other young writers, and she's an active member of her local writing community. Kristen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome you today.
Thank you so much, and it is absolutely my honor, and I am so excited to speak with you and to share the story with the audience.
You know, I'm always curious. Before we start talking about the book, I want to talk about you just a little bit. When did you decide that you were going to start writing, and why did you decide to start writing? I always think that's an interesting double question that our listeners are curious about.
Well, it kind of starts with a funny story. In third grade, I had a substitute teacher who allowed us to write a story, and she told us the words that changed my life. She said, "Spelling doesn't count." And so suddenly, I was able to write what I've always wanted to say, but was so worried about that red pen and the spelling. So I would really say my writing career started in third grade. And since then, as I'm sure, you know, many writers can connect with, just have always written, whether they were poems or in my journal as a teenager, short stories, started writing articles for the local newspaper, included looking at doing some of the longer works, looking at doing some novels, but I've always just been inspired by a spark of something. And then also because I'm an educator, I wanted that story to become a journey for both myself and the reader. And it was something that when we got to the end of that journey, when we closed that last page together, we were somehow not necessarily better people for it, but certainly we're at a place where we've learned something about ourselves, about each other, about the world around us. So writing has been a journey for me, and it's something that is just kind of a part of who I've always been.
This book, American Wings and Iranian Roots, this book just feels like it was destined to be. This is one of those things that if you had not had a chance encounter with another person, this book would have never happened. Let's tell our listeners the story behind the book.
It really is kind of a fun story. So Reza Abedi, who the story is about, his life, he and I taught together at the same high school. His son Cameron, my son Daniel, chanced together on a Little League team. And because Reza was a staff member at the school, I had heard kind of rumors about him. We knew that he was a world champion wrestler. He was the wrestling coach at the school. We knew he had escaped from Iran, and then around that swirled these really interesting rumors. He was an assassin for the Shah. No one really knew his real age. You know, all of these kinds of things that kind of, you know, how rumors will go. So when he and I were sitting in the bleachers Saturday afternoon at the most American thing you could ever see, you know, a Little League game, and our kids were out there playing, we sat together and we're talking, and he kind of looked at me sheepishly, and he said, "You know, the first time I ever hit a baseball, I ran to third base." And I chuckled, and I said, "Oh, you must have been little." He goes, "No, I was in college." And I was like, "Oh, you must have been drinking." he said, "No, Kristen, I don't drink." "Well, why did you run to third base?" And he goes, "Well, Kristen, in Iran, we didn't have baseball, and no one told me to run to first base." What I didn't realize at the time was that I, too, as a college-educated American, had been running to third base because I had such misinformation and stereotypical understanding of not just Iran, but the Middle East. And as the Little League season progressed, and Reza and I spent more time sitting next to each other, you know, Little League isn't always the most exciting game to watch, I just listened and listened to his story. And I kept saying to him, oh my gosh, this needs to be a book. This needs to be a movie. This is the most incredible story of you and your family and millions of people in Iran. And I had no idea. You know, being a child of the 70s, every night on TV, what did we see? You know, the Iranian hostages with the blindfolds around their faces and the men surrounding them with guns. That was where Iran was in my mind until I got to really get to know not just Reza, but Reza's story, his family. What was it like under Shah during the revolution? How did you get out? Why did you risk your life to go back? And all of those pieces that kept falling into place to me, I literally woke up in the middle of the night just saying, I have to do what I can do to help share Reza's story. And that's where our journey began.
Can you give the listeners a little bit of an overview? I mean, this is powerful. And it was happening at a time that was, I mean, you look back at it and you think, wow, history was happening right before our very eyes. Give us a little overview of the book.
Well, the best way to kind of overview the book, I think if your listeners are familiar with Kite Runner and some and Splendid Sons and some of the other books that are taking place, it kind of combines the story of an ordinary, everyday family and what they endured and experienced and lived through against the backdrop of these historical, really world-altering events. The 1979 revolution in Iran really was one of those first dominoes to fall. But the story is just, Reza is one of 10 children. They grew up in Kermanshah, Iran, which isn't a small town, but it's certainly not, you know, the main city of Tehran. And they were just kids, and they were siblings, and they had a mom that was just incredibly dedicated to her family. The book is dedicated to her. And a hardworking dad, and they were just trying to make it through. In Iran, there was no football, baseball, you know, the warriors wrestled. And they played soccer or they wrestled. And at a very young age, Reza's innate wrestling ability was recognized by his father. So he was trained very early on, almost as we would train Olympic athletes now. But that was in, you know, the early 70s. And then the world sort of slowly changed on them under the Shah. They the women did not have to wear the hijab coverings. Girls and boys went to school. The Shah was bringing health care out to the rural areas. He was bringing land ownership out to the rural areas. He was bringing education out to the rural areas. And Reza's family was benefiting from this. However, there were elements in Iran who were not. And the elites, the landowners, the ones who had the money, the ones who had the power, the ones who had kind of a stranglehold from a religious standpoint, they didn't like what they were seeing under Shah. And slowly but surely, they started throwing out rumors that Shah was stealing their money. Reza remembers sitting around the radio and listening to some of the political speeches. And Ayatollah Khomeini, who had been previously exiled, they were smuggling in cassette tapes with his voice on them. Reza remembers his voice promising that every Iranian family was going to get a check for their share of the oil money that the Shah was stealing from them. And so these kinds of rumors kept sort of weaving their way into Iranian society. Reza remembers neighbors that he had grown up with and known and loved and shared and played with. All of a sudden, they were becoming suspicious of each other. He remembers the protests and the chanting that was going on in the street and the violence. And then it got so bad that he and some of the stronger people in the neighborhood had to take an abandoned, burned-out bus and block out streets in his neighborhood because of the police coming down and the looting and all of these things. It was very, very difficult times. And as I was hearing these stories, of course, my eyes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger because you're taking a nation, a very proud civilization that you know, have 3,000 plus years of being a very sophisticated civilization, and this happened to them. And it happened to them so swiftly that many people were caught off guard until it was too late. In Reza's case, his younger brother, who was his very best friend, he was bringing food to some of their Kurdish cousins, was arrested, was taken, and brought into an Iranian jail. The kid was 14 years old. And it was just this kind of environment that happened quickly that I lay out in the book through Reza's eyes, through his family. So you get to know this family, and it sort of humanizes what we've all seen on TV. What was it like to be there? What was it like to live through it? How did your family survive it? What could they do? And then throughout the book, the way it's written is I do two chapters in third-person past tense of Reza's story, his family, you know, his sisters. I take some time looking through what was it like to be a girl during this time, a mom, a brother, you know. And then I do one short chapter from my point of view in first person, just 1 to 2 pages, where I, as an American, am learning with you and learning like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know, or how did this happen? Or I'm asking Reza questions like, how did you bring this Ayatollah Khomeini guy in? Like, everybody could tell he was a madman. Yes, but, Kristen, we didn't know. At the time, Khomeini was making these promises, was telling us these things, was manipulating the media, was closing down the news stations, and all we heard was his promises, his voice, his view of things. We didn't know until it was too late. Which
now you also
gives me chills today. Yes.
Let me slow you down a little bit here, Kristen. You also did some of your own research. I mean, you listened to Reza's story, but you also did copious research to make sure that you had things right in the book. Is that correct?
Yes. Oh, yes. And at one point in the story, it was, I don't want to say it was overwhelming. It was interesting. It was exciting. I was immersed in it. And what I did is I cleared off my dining room table and I took huge pieces of poster board. And I put Reza's timeline on one, his family, what was he doing in 72 and 79 and 84. And then alongside that timeline, I wrote down sort of the Iranian, the timeline of how and when things changed to match up Reza's story. Did a lot of reading, interviewed a lot of folks, not just people from Reza's family, but, you know, certainly in South Orange County here in California, we have a very vibrant Persian population, and it seemed like at some point every other person I bumped into, I know you have to meet my neighbor, you have to meet my friend, this is that. So I was able to get a lot of additional firsthand information and really kind of weave the story together that way. Because at one time Reza's story is ordinary because it is kind of everyday, he's an everyday, you know, kind of on the lower end of the middle class family trying to survive. But because Reza became a gold medal world champion wrestler, because he had that innate ability. That is what was able to propel him and his family to just a different level. He needed that to travel outside of Iran. You know, once the revolution was over and everything was now in a place where he didn't recognize his own country, he needed to get out. Well, how are you going to do that? He couldn't afford to get out from a smuggler. He knew he had to make the Iranian wrestling team to travel internationally so that once he got outside of Iran, he was not coming back. And so that was kind of what makes his story and his journey unique in that sense.
Now, you have a part of the book that you would like to share with the listeners. And this is a perfect segue, I think, into that part of the book that you want to share. You want to set that up and then read a little bit to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So Reza is about 19 years old at this point. The revolution is over, and Ayatollah Khomeini has taken over the country and is ruling it in a way that was not promised nor recognized.
Yeah.
Reza has now made the international team, and he's in Venezuela at the World Championship. He worked with a couple other of the Iranian wrestlers to make connections with some American wrestlers. And Reza owes his life to these American wrestlers who, mind you, were just athletes. They weren't Secret Service men or CIA agents or anything. They were also just kids who, through very broken language of trying to understand, you know, the Farsi and the English, understood that these kids wanted to get out. So the American wrestlers said, we will drive our van into your compound, into the parking lot of your compound, and because the van has American flags on it, we can go anywhere we want. You guys just have to get out of the compound and get into the van, and we will help you escape. So Reza and three other wrestlers who were on the third floor of this compound with barred windows and guards, because all the other teams could stay in hotels, these guys had to stay in what were like, you know, barracks, had to figure out a way to get out. So that's pretty much where we're at, is the night that Reza and the three other Iranian wrestlers go with the American wrestlers to escape. And another piece for Reza is, as I had mentioned earlier, his brother, his 15-year-old brother, is in an Iranian prison. And because Iranian wrestlers are known as the warriors, he knew that their escape would be a huge shame and humiliation to Ayatollah Khomeini and to the country. This would be a huge slap in their face. And Reza had to come to the place of peace within himself. If I escape, they're going to take my brother out, and they're going to shoot him in front of my mother, because it will be such a humiliation for my escaping, and what can I do about that? So that's the place where he is, both with his internal and external conflict here at this part in the book. And I will begin. Night can be so still, so motionless that even death seems restless. Thick, sticky air pressed upon the chests of the strongest wrestlers in the world, and they lay there helpless and shivering. Fear crushed sense from their minds and reduced them to animals preparing to gnaw their limbs from steel traps. Shortly before 2 a.m., Reza rose. He walked into the bathroom and closed the door. He wrapped his hand around the cold bars and pressed his face against the opening. In the moonlight, he remembered his brother, Hassan. Crushed in the cage between other prisoners, Hassan's ragged gaze locked with Reza's. He began shouting, but Reza couldn't hear him above the mother's cries. Reza stretched his arm to get closer, closer to somehow touch Hassan. And Hassan's arm, too, reached with one outstretched finger, pointing to their mother and repeating, "Go. Leave now. Just go." Reza squeezed the iron bars and rested his forehead against their cold. "Oh God, Hassan, will you ever forgive me?" And he let go. He pulled the clothes he had hidden behind the toilet and wrapped them around his gold medal. He popped open the window and dropped the clothes through the bars. "Nane, please understand." Vomit crept into his throat as time crushed every sensation he'd ever felt. Willing his legs to move, he walked across the silent barracks and repeated to himself, "I have to breathe. And I have to look calm." In his boxers, he approached the guard at the door. "I need to go down for a drink." "No way, Abedi," the guard replied. I'm just going to leave it there.
Wow, that is so powerful. I mean, your words and the way that you write, I'm there. I can see everything. That is just so well done, Kristen. I know that we have hooked our listeners, and I know that they're dying to know where they can get the book. I went to Amazon, and of course, Amazon is the big boy in the proverbial marketplace. All they have to do is put in the title of the book, and let me give that, and then I'll spell your name, American Wings, comma, Iranian Roots by Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, last name, Orloff, O-R-L-O-F-F. There's a search feature at the top of the Amazon website. You could even just put Kristen's name in there, and it will bring her books right up. But if you put the title, then you'll get American Wings, Iranian Roots. And in the right-hand corner of the book cover on Amazon, there's a little... It says, "Open here," and there's a beautiful, wonderful excerpt in the right there that they can read, and it will hook them even further. I know they also, you are doing so many things around this book that I am just amazed. And I hope that if we have listeners who are involved in homeschooling their children, or if we have teachers who are listening to our interview, that their ears will perk up right now, because you are making some astonishing things available to them. First of all, you have a free curriculum that goes along with the book. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, yes, thank you. And certainly it is something that I think helps fill that void that we are always looking for in the secondary schools, to go kind of beyond our Euro-centered social studies and English curriculums and connect with, you know, just the whole vast part of the world. So there is a curriculum available for free. It's turnkey. It can be PDF, or it's also available as a Word doc that can be changed for whatever you need for your classroom needs. It has an overview for each chapter. There's activities chapter by chapter. There's also far-reaching activities that can be connected, where students can do group projects, oral projects, research papers. So it's something that could be sort of a nitty-gritty curriculum that can be connected with the book, or it's something that could be, if the kids read the book, even as an auxiliary piece, there's activities there that could bring it into the classroom. And then we have the websites, which I know you'll bring up, but we also have another website, 1979 Iran, which has a lot of resources and information about the book, but also, you know, that time period, which is helpful for educators as well.
Now, you and Reza will also talk to the students if they're in California. If they're close, you'll do a personal appearance. But you also said that you would do a Skype or a Zoom session with a school. Tell me a little bit about how they could arrange that.
And we love doing that. That's been one of the greatest joys of sharing Reza's story, is connecting with students. We've gone to high schools, to colleges, to book clubs, to libraries. Of course, pre-COVID, this was done in person. During the COVID era, and post, or for schools that were on the East Coast, we do a Zoom, and generally what we do is a brief presentation. We introduce ourselves, tell a little bit about the story, and then we work through any questions that they might have. Sometimes the students will be studying the book. Other times we've worked with a lot of book clubs that have just really enjoyed the story of it. And have had questions about, oh, Reza's mother, and what was it like for his sisters, and, you know, the second piece of Reza's story is his going back and rescuing his sisters from the smugglers who were in Istanbul, in Turkey. A lot of questions are directed towards, you know, how did you choose to do that, and what was that like, and where are your sisters now? You know, there's always questions about how's your family today, and where is everybody, and your little brother, how did it end up from him? So we answer questions far and wide, both personal and both relating to the culture of the Middle East, the history, what it was like to live through a revolution. And, of course, the Iran-Iraq War. Reza was an ambulance driver during that war. So sometimes that's the period of history that a class is studying or looking at, and so we can address questions from that. So it's you know, everything and anything. We want to connect with our audience and make sure that we're sharing and answering any questions they have, because that's what it's all about. You know, that's why we tell story. That's why we write story, is for that connection and that opening of hearts and minds and ideas.
I think the book, in my mind, I almost see it as a door. And once a reader or a teacher, homeschool parent, whatever, opens that door, all of the different kinds of questions that you brought up and other things, geography would be something that would also fit into this nicely. All of a sudden, you're opening a door into a world that people would not have a realistic glimpse into, because there's no way for them to see. And so because this is such a personal story, I can just see how people could just, I mean, my brain is just exploding with ideas. Now, you also have a YouTube channel. Tell me about your YouTube channel.
I do have a YouTube channel. It's connected with our websites mostly. I have some book trailers that are posted on the YouTube channel. But the other websites really have connections to YouTube videos, pre-revolution, during the revolution, post-revolution, articles, documents, photographs. You know, the website also has photographs of Reza and his mother and his family, and that's always enjoyable to see. So, yeah, I'm not as gifted with the YouTube. The website certainly is the better place to go at first.
Go ahead and give them the website address.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so the website, we have two websites that are connected to the book. The first one is, of course, the www.AmericanWingsIranianRoots.com. And then the second is the www.1979Iran.com. And that's kind of a search engine to pull people in who are looking for information about that time period. We give so much information, and it's a living, growing website. And we do have the book connected there as well, because it's just an excellent piece to, in addition to anybody's study of that time period. And then my author's website is the Kristen Orloff. .com website, but the American Wings Iranian Roots, and people often ask me, how did you come up with that title? And I kept coming back to that saying, you know, there are only two things we can give to our children. One is roots, and the other is wings. And I just see Reza and his family's journey combining those two pieces together, and so that's where the title and the title of the website come from.
Well, I think all of the information, the book is a starting place, the doorway, and you have just provided people with a literal treasure trove. If you could leave, if you were looking at our listeners eyeball to eyeball, they close the book metaphorically for the last time, is there something that you want them to take away?
What I would look to as far as the takeaway is just that we are all so connected. We are the same. As mothers, as brothers, as sisters, as parents, we have that same love for our children. We have that same need to find our own courage at different points in our lives and go through just what we feel like is impossible. We live with integrity. We live with character. We live with those values that make us who we are. And it doesn't matter if you are in Iran in the 1960s or you're right here in America or you're anywhere else in the world. What this story does is become a connection point, a connectivity for us, and really brings us together in a place of humanity where we need to revisit as much as we can. For as often as we're often tried to be torn apart and separated into different categories, Reza's story and so many excellent stories like his pull us back together and remind us that we really are the same.
Kristen, this has been so delightful and so informational, and I've just enjoyed our talking together so much. Thank you so much for being our guest on Books on Air today.
The honor was mine. Thank you.
Remember, you can find American Wings, Iranian Roots by Kristen Orloff on Amazon. You've been listening to the Books on Air podcast brought to you on webtalkradio.net. And by the way, you can also hear this podcast on iTunes and iHeartRadio. I'm Suzanne Harris, and I hope that you'll join our next Books on Air podcast. Remember, this is the place to be. Thanks so much for listening.